What will it take to get Michiganders into good jobs, jobs with a future, and a good paycheck? The Center for Michigan has spent the last year asking those questions of more than 5,000 Michiganders for its Getting to Work public engagement campaign. It's the sixth such campaign conducted by the Center for Michigan, which is nonprofit and nonpartisan. John Bebo is president and CEO of the Center for Michigan. It is always good to see you, John.
Thanks for having us, Cynthia.
And we have Amber DeLind with us. She's the outreach director. Hello again, Amber.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Well, the report, John, is just out today. What was the focus? What were you seeking to learn?
We're looking at career navigation and college affordability issues and upward mobility for workers here. We heard some urgent priorities from the public this time. You just posed to your listeners when we started, what's it going to take to get a good job?
Mm-hmm.
And part of our answer, based on what we've heard from the public, is first a clearing of an awful lot of fog out there as individuals graduate from high school and then are faced with this massive world out there. What am I going to do and how am I going to do it? That's always been an individual pursuit and an individual responsibility. But what we heard from the public is the society as a whole here has some responsibilities too, and we're probably not meeting them in terms of college affordability and providing career navigation help to today's students.
You know, Amber, looking at the whole picture, are Michiganders at all optimistic about the future job market in Michigan?
The majority of our participants in our conversations and our polls said that they feel at least somewhat optimistic, that they feel good about the future, though those feelings aren't quite as rosy about the current job market.
Yes. So, and it sounds like from what I could see, your feelings about the current job market really depend on how much you're making right now.
Absolutely. Particularly those with higher incomes and middle range incomes felt as though the job market was pretty good for themselves and for their family members. However, for lower income Michigan residents, the majority with household incomes below $35,000 describe the current job market as either lousy or terrible for themselves and their family members.
So back to this whole theme of getting to work. And what you did is explore what it'll take to get people ready for what most believe will be a great job market looking ahead into Michigan's future, and breaking it down into these three interesting elements, John. First, career navigation solutions. Meaning what?
Everybody has so many opportunities out there, but sifting through those is a tremendous job. And one of the expectations we heard very strongly from the public is that they expect more from our counseling systems to help prepare students to make wise choices about their future. And unfortunately, a majority of the public in a couple of our survey methods described the high school counseling service that they and their children receive as lousy or terrible. That's not an indictment of individual counselors. We don't mean it that way, and I don't think the public does either. But it is an indictment of a system right now that is broken. Counselors are simply outnumbered in Michigan high schools. It's more than 700 students to every single counselor. That is one of the worst ratios in the nation. When students do interact with counselors, they're not very often interacting on these important issues having to do with college choice, career choice.
Your future.
Counselors are dealing with more basic human needs than that more and more. Are children fed? Are students fed? Disciplinary issues.
Are they showing up for class?
Are they showing up for class? So the public sees that as a major early concern in the board game of life. We all played the game of life and spun the dial, right? Well, imagine, you know, before you make that choice of whether to go college or career, there's a giant sinkhole that your little car goes into. And that's kind of what the public is saying here, is we've got a problem right at the very front end before students are even leaving high school in terms of how they discern what they're going to do.
So the public wants to see more counselors and really more in-depth service, and goes right back to money, 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 money.
They've called for counselors being specifically certified in college preparation training. They're not today. And they want more counselors dedicated to this task. There's a great organization out there, the Michigan College Access Network, that is beginning to solve this problem.
And once we get to college, making it affordable, and you explored college affordability solutions, Amber, what kinds of concerns are on people's minds besides the fact that it's a crushing debt?
That's the big finding, that cost is a huge concern for Michigan residents. One thing that we saw is that overwhelmingly Michigan residents believe that some sort of formalized training after high school is very important in today's job market. More than 75% of all of our participants said that obtaining a degree is either important or very important to our future in the job market. However, more than half of all of our participants said that they're not sure that the cost of that degree is worth it. More than half said that a college degree is only somewhat worth or not worth the cost today.
That kind of syncs up with what we're hearing from President Obama and Governor Snyder about community colleges and technical training, doesn't it?
It is very much in theme with some of the things we're hearing from our state and national leaders. The kitchen table math is pretty simple. We think they're concerned because things are going in opposite directions. Tuition at the 15 Michigan universities, after adjusting for inflation, is up 86% since 2001. Household income is down by about a quarter. People are forced to pay more. They have less to pay. As a result, student loans have skyrocketed from about $850 million at the beginning of this century to $2 billion a year today. And we sense from the public that this is reaching a level of insustainability pretty soon.
This house of cards is going to cave.
That's what we're worried about.
Yeah.
I mean, people are really reaching the breaking point in terms of whether they're going to be able to pay for college or other forms of advanced training. We asked people what to do about it, and they gave some of the strongest recommendations ever. In almost 10 years of doing this work, we rarely see percentages in questions go as high as we did this time. More than 80% said they want higher state investment in our universities to help keep costs down. Our state bean counters have said the same in some research reports. They cite the declining state investment in universities as being responsible for about 60% of the tuition increases since the beginning of the century. But the public doesn't stop there. The public also sees a need for increased efficiency on university campuses. They think it's a two-way street, that the state should be investing more and that universities need to redouble every single effort to try to keep costs in line. Families are telling us they're doing what they can.
So it's somebody else's turn to help out here.
Yeah, and I think they're continuing to do everything they can. But when you look at our completion rates, which lag the nation overall, we ask people why, and they tell us because we have to drop in and drop out. We have to work. We can't pay it all at one time. They're really asking universities to double down on what they're doing in terms of cutting costs. And we've been encouraged by what we've been seeing happening in some other states in that regard. So what the public is saying to the universities is, careful, you're on the verge of pricing away your customers.
Interesting that people told you they wanted to see expanding high school students' access to college credits, right, Amber? So that would kind of get the show on the road at a much more affordable rate at a younger age.
That was actually one of the more popular strategies that Michigan residents identified as a way to perhaps ease some of these college costs, was giving students an opportunity to have, in high school, opportunities to earn credit through things like dual enrollment, early and middle colleges, AP credit, ways that they can get some of those credits out of the way when they're not having to pay so much for them.
And that kind of dovetails into that third area, the upward mobility solutions. Amber, what did people think it would take to get themselves moving up this economic ladder?
Absolutely. And one of the big messages of this entire campaign was that if you want to prosper today and in the future, that you need to prepare early and continue to train throughout career. So there were kind of two sets of recommendations that our participants made for us. Some of them were really focused on hands-on training and work experience for young people, expanding paid summer internships for youth, intensive jobs and skills training for youth. Both of those ideas had strong support from the public in both our conversations and polls. And then for adults, our participants really liked the idea of intensifying some retraining and continuing education for adults through things like apprenticeships, as well as basic skills training for those who are trying to get into the workforce.
John, these are great ideas. How likely is it you think that these ideas could take seed in Lansing and actually become reality?
That's ultimately the final destination of the Center for Michigan's work. We go where the public leads, improving high school counseling and college affordability as two real concrete things that we saw the public mm-hmm. talk about. Our first step in that is doing the independent journalism that Bridge Magazine does that comes out of these reports. The public's perceptions and concerns serve as a divining rod for our reporters to go out and seek solutions and explore the issues. An additional step this fall is we're holding three public conferences on these. We've got 36 speakers lined up to speak on these conferences in Livonia and in Lansing and in Grand Rapids. All those event details are on our website, centerformichigan.net. Governor Snyder is headlining those 36 experts. We also have some national experts on college affordability and college efficiency. We have President Schlissel here from the University of Michigan, as well as President Luana Simon from Michigan State, mm-hmm. President Tom Haas from Grand Valley. A number of legislators will be speaking. all designed to respond to what the citizens are saying. And those conferences and our bridge reporting will put a fine point on the public concerns, and that's when we go to Lansing and try to explore solutions in the state capitol.
So these summits are open to the public?
These summits are absolutely open to the public. In fact, it's a great opportunity for citizens to interact with their policymakers and experts on these topics.
And you can get the dates, locations, and register for these summit meetings at thecenterformichigan.net, which is where you will also be able to read the latest Citizens Agenda report, Getting to Work. John Bebo, Amber DeLind with the Center for Michigan, always great to see you here at the Stateside Studio. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.